Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Are we live? Is it going to work? My God, there's some slowdowns on the side of... Okay, there we are. We are live. There's been some slowdowns because it used to be that I only had to play my intro music and eventually the video would pop out during the intro, but now I have to wait and I'm not sure when the show starts if it's live. Paul Dirac says live. All right. This is something that Odyssey should fix. We should be able to, within a couple of seconds, of knowing if it's live. Someone says, Firestarter says, Elon is trying to buy oil. No, and that is the most ridiculous thing, that Elon has to spend any dollar to protect American free speech by buying Twitter from Saudis, because that doesn't make sense at all. It shouldn't be, and yet it's happening, and it makes you realize what Elon is doing is currently exposing the whole system behind Twitter. There are reasons why people like me get banned from these platforms, and it has to do with the fact that Twitter isn't a normal company. It's a company that is owned by various interests who can dictate who gets to speak, and it's ultimately a cartel of human attention. So today there has been extreme events in the Elon Musk saga with respect to Twitter. Elon Musk published an offer letter saying he was ready to buy Twitter from all of the shareholders at $54.20, which is the typical 420 reference by Elon Musk. Everything he does includes a reference to pot. Okay, it's a little cringe, but it totals to $43 billion. That is a significant sum, and Elon Musk is saying, basically, there's no future for Twitter if I can't control it in full, because I don't trust the current management. So basically, he wants to fire everyone who's currently controlling it and replace them with people who would be pro-free speech. That is an excellent news. Whether it happens or not, the buy offer doesn't matter. In the process, Elon Musk is getting the teams at Twitter to get nervous a little bit, because Twitter has been assaulted many times, with Gab to begin with, and then Parler, and then Getter, and then perhaps eventually Truth Social. And it has survived up to now, but it has survived not unscathed. And it's been hit by drops of users and people losing interest. Elon Musk was pointing to the fact that some of the big celebrities like Justin Bieber haven't tweeted in months. There is a problem at Twitter, and it wouldn't require much more hits that Twitter eventually would lose its shine, because it would become such a circle jerk of journalists, which is what they've been doing. They've been forcing Twitter down the road of becoming this blue check mark, blue pilled crap. And so it's what they deserve in the end, that Twitter dies out, not from a glorious death in being purchased by Elon Musk, but it dies out in absolute carelessness, like MySpace. That would be the fate of Twitter, but Elon Musk is making an offer now. At $43 billion, he's giving a premium of about 18% on the current price of the stock. So basically, people who thought that they had a stock that was valued somewhere between $40 and $45, he's offering $54 for it. So that's they would be making money. However, there are some people who might be in Twitter who have bought it at the peak, and the peak was, I believe, if I'm correct, somewhere around $70, something like this. So they would be missing from the price that they had a couple of months ago. However, it's an offer that is just at the perfect place. It's just right there, and it's perfect. It's going to be enough to make them nervous, because you can very well see if you're a Twitter employee or a Twitter CEO who owns stock, or if you're just a stockholder from outside the company, you can get nervous at the idea that Twitter will never get back to $70 a stock. That's very possible. So it may be the best offer you ever get for your shares. So I don't know what will happen. My instinct is that the buy offer will be rejected because the people controlling Twitter are too proud. That's why they've been bashing on their own users for many years without caring for it. It's because they don't give a shit about money, really. They want to, and so there's a strategy called the poison pill, which is basically an act of self-destruction that a company can do in response to someone like Elon Musk trying to buy them. So a poison pill can come in the form of, for example, a new rule that would keep someone from possessing too many shares, or they could develop a rule that makes it such that shares are getting multiplied and that other holders of the shares they're receiving free shares, so that the democratic power of Elon Musk and the company gets diluted. So all of this is possible. And meanwhile, someone was pointing out on the regular chat, Vanguard, a kind of investing company, has purchased, apparently, has increased its stake in Twitter to a level higher than Elon Musk. Now, what does that mean? It could mean that they're just expecting that the noise around the Elon Musk stuff will increase the price. It could also mean that they are planning a strategy of hostile takeover and union with Elon Musk, you know. They could very well revert in a week from now and say, oh, forget about the $43 billion. We've actually accumulated enough shares between us and Elon Musk, so we're going to unify our shares and we have control of the company. Everything is possible. It would be illegal, I believe, if they were to do it with the intent of doing this. But as long as they're accumulating shares, they could then say, okay, now seeing the current situation, we will team up with Elon Musk in a week or 2 weeks from now. That would be beautiful to see. That would be a beautiful hostile takeover. And then the Saudis, who own something like 5-9% of the Twitter stock, it's not clear, then their opinion wouldn't matter, because if Elon Musk can team up with certain owners of shares that can bring him to 50%, then he can control the company. So beautiful things ahead. And in the meantime, Andrew Tarba has suggested a $2 billion investment in Gab to Elon Musk. Elon Musk has not talked about it on his public outlets. But, you know, there's something wrong with all this, which is everything that Elon Musk is talking about is Gab. Elon Musk says we have to have a platform that allows us to freely speak without control, without shadow banning, and within the boundaries of the law. So that is the Gab TOS. Basically, the Gab TOS is telling you don't say something that's a crime, but other than this, you're good. Elon Musk, if he goes on to build his own platform, then it will be Gab, Parler, Getter, Truth Social, and Musk Town, whatever he calls it. There's been so much attempts at doing this, and the question ultimately is, how much attention can you drain away from Twitter, and how much people can you get to migrate? I think that alt-tech has been seeing beautiful years, and it's beautiful to see it's beautiful to see Gab flourishing, but creating infinite amounts of alternatives that each of them have their own failure, that's a painful process. So I don't know what's the idea of Elon Musk here. Hopefully he knows what he's doing, and it seems that he's motivated by a noble cause, which is he wants free speech, and he doesn't care about the economics of it, he says. Nicolas Petris says, ultimately, Musk seems to be an opportunist and possibly grifter in my humble perceptions. Yes, but sometimes an opportunist and a grifter can make actions that are in line with increasing interest for free speech. So I won't dismiss him until I see the full deployment of his strategy. John Drake says, Vanguard isn't teaming up with him. It's the front end of the central banks. Yeah, I mean, it's a long shot. But, you know, if their money interests are in there and they don't care about the aspect of speech control, you could see it happen. It could happen. Pineapple Platypotamus says, a lot of people are intimidated by JF, not realizing he's on the good side with the right enemies. Oh yes, who's intimidated by me? I don't know. Someone sent a super chat on Entropy. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the cash button under the regular chat on Odyssey. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats, and I read all super chat questions. If you don't like Odyssey, you can also join us on Entropy. The link is right below the video. And tonight's survey question is, will Musk start his own platform? Yes, no, he'll buy Twitter, or no, he'll do nothing. Those three possibilities are very much on the table, unfortunately. We don't know that we're out of the weeds yet. We don't know if Musk has the courage, but because think about it, Musk would definitely move people's attention away from Twitter. So he can definitely make a good hit on the amount of visual attention derived to the app. But can he host a platform like Gab, where the mainstream media will start going to acquire, you know, to observe and to see, oh my God, they said this about this group and they said that about that group. I don't know if Elon Musk can do this. I don't know if he has the heart to do it. He certainly can in principle, but does he have what it takes to have the balls to do it? Sullivan Diaz sent $10 on Entropy. Thank you so much for the support. He says, hi from France, JF. Have you heard about the book Political Ponerology, The Science of Evil? It's a theory about schizoid people who create ideologies and people of power. Here's a video about the book. And thank you for sending me this video. I've only watched 12 minutes because I got your super chat just before the show. But I'll be watching it tonight and I'll see if it's worth reading. My first impression... It's interesting. It's a guy who was the victim of severe violations of rights during, I believe it's in Poland or somewhere, and he got victim of violations of rights by both the Nazis and the communists as his country was taken over. And he's developed a kind of theory of the human mind under these circumstances, these political circumstances, of evil, if you will. How does the mind go to being the evil of Stalin or the evil of the political police that he's been the victim of? The thing is, I don't think this kind of thinking gets you to an actual theory of the human mind. Because the moment you use the word evil, you're not in a factual theory. The moment you think that there is something pathological, and I believe that, well, at least as far as the 12 minutes I've seen of the video, they say, étude de la genèse du mal appliquée à des fins politiques. So he's really studying evil. Studying evil is not a productive scientific direction, because the very definition of evil is moral. It is not factual. There is no such thing as evil in the physical universe. It's something that you think is evil. It's a perception. And so if you're already within the perception, you're outside of the empiricism. I have a better theory of morality, I believe, but I'll be giving it a full listen because I think it's important, but you won't go forward in understanding the human mind by saying, oh, these people are psychopaths and that's why they do evil. It's not how it works. I think that a lot of the great actors of history have been constrained to act in the way they did to survive and for what they perceived was the right thing to do. To me, that's not the right approach. But anyways, thank you for the link. I'll be putting it in my tabs for tonight's viewing. Dead Star says, JF, you are missing the point of the Vanguard / BlackRock buyout. They have no intention of teaming with Musk. They are buying shares to price Musk out since losing their censored globalist mouthpiece is worth more to them than $43 billion. You know, I've seen these interpretations, but I mean, that's giving way too much power to Twitter than what it is. I think it's possible that there's some kind of conspiracy there, but just controlling Twitter, I don't think it's that important to these companies. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know, the thing is, anyone can see that Twitter will be gone one day, just like any tech entity will be gone one day. Everything has its expiry date, and I think it would be quite irrational for them to be pursuing a full speech control strategy as the internet moves away and demonstrates that, yeah, we can drain some of your business bases, you know. But it's my call. Maybe I'm too naive. Maybe there's more conspiracy than I want to see in the world. Follow up on yesterday, Subway shooting suspect Frank James denied bail as lawyer requests psychiatric evaluation. I think this guy has a good chance of being found psychiatrically incapable of going under a trial. It's not that it's something I root for. I'm totally for the punishment of everyone who commits crimes, whether they are mentally ill to me is an irrelevant factor. But that's not how our justice system works. And especially in a place like New York, I think you might have some, especially for a black man with all the white guilt and the white self-flagellation, I think a jury might be moved by the mental health argument. But who knows whether it will happen, because also this guy has been covered in the media in a way that I've argued yesterday was kind of deceptive, but he's been given the stance of a nationalist. So it's possible that the New York liberals on the jury will not be able to extend their empathy for the black man to a black who is also a nationalist. It's a tough one, but he certainly has a psychiatric history, as I've described yesterday, and that means he would have the goods to make a full finding of not guilty for reasons of mental insanity. But for now, he will be imprisoned, so the judge has ordered that he be imprisoned for the trial. Now, he was denied bail, so there will not be any way for him to get out. Elon Musk and his letter to Twitter. Let's look at the whole filing, because, of course, when you do such aggressive moves on the market, you have to disclose them to the SEC. So Elon Musk wrote that letter and sent it to the board. He didn't write to Parag Agrawal. Interestingly, Parag Agrawal is totally not in this letter. So at this point, he's talking to the board, which represents the shareholders. Chairman of the board. I invested in Twitter as I believe in its potential to be the platform for free speech around the globe. And I believe free speech is a societal imperative for a functioning democracy. However, since making my investment, I now realize the company will neither thrive nor serve this societal imperative in its current form. Twitter needs to be transformed as a private company. So basically, Elon Musk is tired of having to negotiate with groups of people and holders. He wants to be the Twitter dictator and just dictate that, yes, if it's not illegal, it will be legal on Twitter. As a result, I am offering to buy 100% of Twitter for $54.20 per share in cash, a 54% premium over the day I began investing in Twitter, and a 38% premium over the day before my investment was publicly announced. My offer is my best and final offer, and if it is not accepted, I would need to reconsider my position as a shareholder. That is a massive threat, because he's saying I can dump 10% shares of Twitter on the market in a single flash. Basically, Elon Musk can crash the price of Twitter to zero for a couple of seconds if he wants to. That is a heavy threat, because, you know, you could see his whole purchasing of Twitter as a waste of money. Like, if you've purchased that much share of Twitter and then you are offering a purchase offer here to the rest of the shareholders, why did you spend these billions in the first place? Well, by spending these billions, Elon has given himself the power to be even more intimidating. He could totally crash the Twitter value, dump it. Fractalman says, where is he getting this cash? Liquidating Tesla? That's a separate question, and it's a complex one, because when we say Elon Musk is worth hundreds of billions of dollars, I don't know what's the count exactly, but when we say someone is worth that much net value, it is very often with shares that they hold and property that they hold. But if he was to sell all these shares, there would be tax events that would be starting to influence. I mean, it would make the cost much higher. I don't think that Elon Musk wants to fully buy Twitter with money that he has in his bank account or sells from his Tesla shares. I think that first he has hired, I think, JP Morgan for handling the buying of Twitter. So I think there will be some kind of partnership where JP Morgan may I don't know exactly if it's legal or how it will work, but it could take the form of JP Morgan tells him, okay, we're going to loan you the money, and if you don't pay back your loan, you owe us your Tesla shares and your everything else. So basically instead of selling the Tesla shares, use them as collaterals to obtain a loan of some kind. That could happen. He says, Twitter has extraordinary potential. I will unlock it. So we still haven't had a response from the board. However, they have made a full meeting with the employees this afternoon. We don't know what's the result of it. Another thing that happened is the Saudi, who owns more than 5% of the shares, is one of the biggest holders other than Vanguard Now and Elon Musk. And he says on Twitter, I will not accept the offer for 54.20. Now, there's also an attachment to the letter sent to the SEC. As I indicated this weekend, I believe that the company should be private to go through the changes that need to be made. After the past several days of thinking this over, I have decided I want to acquire the company and take it private. I'm going to send you an offer letter tonight. It will be public in the morning. Are you available to chat? 1. Best and final. I am not playing the back and forth game, so there will be no negotiation. Elon Musk is going all in. This is his price, and if not, he's going to be at war with Twitter. B. I have moved straight to the end. So that is the maximum he can pay. He's not going to pay more than this. C. It's a high price, and your shareholders will love it. So what we've seen in relation to this is Elon Musk is pushing in the media the conception that if the board doesn't offer to their shareholders this offer, they're depriving them of a serious amount of money, which is above the current market price. And so he says, Elon Musk, utterly indefensible not to put the $43 billion Twitter offer up for vote. Musk has offered to buy the platform for $54.20 per share. So if the board doesn't offer a vote to their shareholders, it could be argued that there is some kind of crime happening, that they are basically stopping a market operation that should have happened, because who wouldn't want to sell what they have at a higher price than what the market can give them? And so that is a point of leverage that Elon has, which is potentially this could be forced into a vote. D, if the deal doesn't work, given that I don't have confidence in management, nor do I believe I can drive the necessary change in the public market, I would need to reconsider my position as a shareholder. This is not a threat, it's simply not a good investment without the changes that need to be made. And those changes won't happen without taking the company private. 2. My advisors and my team are available after you get the letter to answer any questions. So that's it. That is the aggressive offer of Elon Musk to buy Twitter. I can't wait to see the answer of the board. I can't wait to see if the shareholders are voting on this. But my dream would be, that Elon Musk owns Twitter and frees speech on it. But my second dream, if that doesn't happen, my dream would be that Elon Musk drops all of his shares, people start abandoning Twitter, Elon Musk himself moves to some other platform, maybe Gab, maybe a platform that he created himself, and eventually you realize in history that never again Twitter will be sold at any more than $20 per share. Like, what I would like to see is eventually the Twitter investor and Twitter value just drain down to zero. That would be awesome. And they would have lost money. They would have had an offer of having $43 billion and they would have zero. I think it's what happened with a couple of internet companies. I think there's been massive losses on things like Yahoo. A lot of things that had the opportunity to sell high in the tech bubble, and they didn't take it because they believed that it would go on forever. But we are in a Twitter bubble in a way. It's not that hard to create an alternative to Twitter. What's hard is to get the network effect to attract the celebrities and everything. Thomas O'Ward says, if JF wants to be a serious player in this game, he needs advisors and a team. A serious player in what game? I've been in the game of producing a show for many years now. I don't need no advisor. If anything, advisors would keep me down. They would say, oh, JF, maybe you should rephrase this. I don't want any advisor. But if I want to be in the game of Twitter ownership, I certainly don't. So I certainly don't want advisors in there. Saudi Prince, who is a major Twitter shareholder, rejects Elon Musk's offer to buy company. So he did it in a tweet. They don't show the tweet, but he said, I don't believe that the proposed offer by Elon Musk comes close to the intrinsic value of Twitter given its growth prospects. Being one of the largest and long-term shareholders of Twitter, Kingdom KHC, and I reject this offer. Unbelievable that we have to ask permission to a Saudi prince to have free speech. But it's what's happening. Warren Buffett has very positive words for Elon Musk. He says, Musk is winning. It's America. Twitter bard waiting plans to thwart Musk's takeover plan. It's a thread. And Elon Musk generating a Twitter survey, taking Twitter private at 54.20 should be up to shareholders, not the board. 83% vote yes. And Warren Buffett says, that shows what America produces. I mean, Elon didn't. He's taking on General Motors, Ford, Toyota, all these people who've got all the stuff. And he's got an ID. He's winning. That's America. You can't dream it up. It's astounding. Absolutely beautiful, this war for free speech. I'm excited at the news for once in many months. You know, news are sometimes sleepy and they're not interesting. This is interesting because free speech is in the balance. Meanwhile, Musk appears at the TED conference and he's getting interviewed live. And amazingly, he has, of course, he's being asked about all these events that are unfolding as it happens.
Was there a question?
why make that offer?
Oh, so, I think it's very important for there to be an inclusive arena for free speech where all, Twitter has become kind of the de facto town square. It's really important that people have both the reality and the perception that they are able to speak freely within the bounds of the law. One of the things that I believe Twitter should do is open source the algorithm and make any changes to people's tweets, you know, if they're emphasized or de-emphasized, that action should be made apparent so anyone can see that action has been taken. So there's no sort of behind-the-scenes manipulation, either algorithmically or manually.
That would be great, because once it's transparent, there would be some shame at some of the processes. There are things that they can do in the dark that they won't do if it's open.
And a good sign as to whether there is free speech is someone you don't like allowed to say something you don't like? And if that is the case, then we have free speech. And it's damn annoying when someone you don't like says something you don't like. That is a sign of a healthy, functioning free speech situation.
We're very far from this. The world has totally converged away from this. And yes, Grapes Coda, within the bounds of the law, which laws? European laws, American laws? Yeah, that's a problem, because Twitter might be too open if it follows the First Amendment of the US, and then eventually you start having European countries that decide to ban Twitter as a whole from their domain name system. This could happen. But I think that Twitter should Twitter or whatever Elon Musk develops should just go for American First Amendment principles. And if some countries block it, then allow people from these countries to connect with a proxy and to still be on Twitter with the standards of speech as they exist in America. Or else you're just going to have small countries basically determining what happens at Twitter. And there are some people who question the Saudis' true power. Night King says, JF, some people are on Twitter saying that the Saudi prince isn't even in control of his account anymore. He lost 50% of his company in a settlement, and they pretty much took everything from him. It's totally possible that we're being presented with bullshit. And in a way, Elon Musk is calling out that bullshit. Look at what he answered to this Prince tweet. He said, interesting, just two questions, if I may. And those are not naive questions. Those are direct attacks on the Prince because he's making it look like he's open to keep private investors in the bandwagon with him. But look at what he asks. He says, how much of Twitter does the kingdom own directly and indirectly? And what are the kingdom's views on journalistic freedom of speech? Boom. The thing is, there's no way to answer these questions without creating major discomfort for the Saudi regime. Of course, they're not for journalistic freedom of speech. They've aren't they the ones who have just chopped a journalist in the Turkish embassy? I don't even remember his name, but I had covered this, and it was an important event. I mean, the guy just goes to get a passport because he knows that he's not really loved in his country, but he's been a journalist for the New York Times, I believe, and he was writing in Arab language, and he just get Khashoggi. Yeah, that was his name, Khashoggi. He just goes to get his passport renewed, and he takes the means of going through Turkey, which was basically keeping him outside of the kingdom. But somehow they get 20 agents in there in the embassy, and they're able to just chop him in pieces and disappear any trace of him. Oh my God. So that's what Elon Musk is referring to. A sign of the time, this article, "The War on Woke Capitalism Has Begun." I think we've attained peak extreme leftism in the management of companies. I think that what Elon Musk is exposing, ultimately, is leveraging everything that we're lacking in corporate management when corporate management tries to make a product too much for the normies. And we've abandoned the original idea of the internet with it. And I think that these companies will start to pay the price. And Twitter is the first front of this war. It will get harsher, I hope. And I hope that it will extend to YouTube eventually. But we cannot have an internet in which we popularize it, we create content that is mind-blowing, that is quality, that people want to see, so much so that we destroy cable TV, only to get told a year or two after that we're not cognitively centered enough for the normies to tolerate our presence on the very platforms that we helped rise. Like, the people who are enjoying me being banned from Twitter have joined Twitter 5 years later than I. Those are not the people who were attracted to the platform at its origins. They were brought to Twitter because everyone was going to Twitter. Just like people are going to YouTube because everyone is attracted to YouTube. But we are the true pioneers who have led to the generation of actually intelligent content on these platforms. We are the reason they have had success. And we were dropped under the bus as soon as the normies showed up, and the NBA players, and the presidents, and the government agents of all kind. It's disgusting, and I hope that this war that Elon Musk does against Twitter will translate into a much greater war for a return of the original internet. I will settle for nothing less than this. Firestarter says, interestingly, the prince who owns the Twitter stock wanted to invite Khashoggi to Saudi Arabia. Interesting. That looks like he may have been, if he made this invitation, it looks like he may have been interested in being part of the chopping. Foundations of the 21st Century says, joint investigation into Elon. Yes, and bizarrely, people have been criticizing this. Bizarrely, an investigation has been opened into Elon for moves with the Tesla shares and that kind of stuff. And it's like people are interpreting this as he's getting punished by the regime for trying to wreck their little censorship plaything that Twitter is. Maybe it's an interpretation. Maybe the red tape agencies and you have to follow the rules type of people have had their feathers rustled by this whole campaign for Twitter, and they decided to go hard on him. RNC votes to withdraw from the Commission on Presidential Debates. that is important because it's the organizations that leads to these debates. And the Republicans have decided that they were not fair enough to the Republicans, that they had taken several decisions that they considered was to the advantage of the Democrats, so they dissociate from it. Does that mean there will be no debates? I don't know, but certainly it's a point of conflict that is opening. Lapitop says, anyone seen the state of Twitch TV lately? It's turning into Chat Turbot. I'm super happy if Twitch TV can be destroyed. I mean, I've heard they've even banned Destiny at this point. It's like Destiny is really, he doesn't even know what he believes in. He's somewhere at the center and oscillating in an eternal need for attention, using personal attacks to make his points because he doesn't know about genetics and biology, yet he wants to talk about it. Even this guy has been banned from Twitch. And so at this point, I don't think you can even have an intellectual conversation on Twitch. And you can't even booby stream. So what's left? What's left for Twitch? I'm going to go either for intellectual stimulating content or boobs. There's nothing else that can get me attracted to a platform. And Twitch has deprived us of the intelligence and deprived us of the boobs. Now, isn't it owned by Amazon? This is what I don't get. Amazon's philosophy has allowed the publication of books. And if there's one industry in which free speech kind of exists still, it's books. Of course, it's not perfect. I understand that Amazon has done some censoring on books. But someone like me can survive on Amazon with the revolutionary phenotype, but I can't survive on Twitter for some reason. Why isn't Twitch an open platform as much as Amazon books are? I don't get that. Why didn't the philosophy of liberty that they've seen pays out in the books industry? Why don't they apply it to Twitch? It's because Twitch, I guess, is seen by them as a thing for the as a low thing, you know, as something at the bottom of existence. I think they may not have respect for the creators and perhaps not even respect for the consumers of these videos. So, and yet, there has been a time in which political discussions attracted thousands and tens of thousands of viewers on a single Twitch channel. I think it's done, and I think even YouTube is done, so that's why I'm here. Fauci admits you use lockdowns to get people vaccinated. Appearing on MSNBC Wednesday, Fauci let the truth about lockdowns slip that they are theater designed to scare people into getting vaccinated. Unbelievable that we can have this admission. This is basically criminality discussions on the public space by our government officials. It is illegal to do extortion. And what Fauci is describing is extortion. It's the crime of extortion. Extortion is all about, I will hurt you with this if you don't do this. Extortion is happening right now on MSNBC, and no prosecutor will prosecute Fauci. That would be the easiest case to do. Of all the lies, of all the half-truths, this is all very hard to prosecute. But the question of whether Fauci here is engaging in extortion makes no doubt. And in fact, the original laws of extortion have been designed specifically for government agents. That was the big problem. You had the tax collectors who were were threatening people. They were blackmailing people. So it's exactly what the laws are meant to address. It's a government agent with too much power who is constraining people's choice by using side threats. LA City Council throws support behind reparations for Black Americans. The Los Angeles City Council unanimously approved a motion on April 12 to support Assembly Bill 3121, California state legislation that created a task force to study and develop reparation protocols for Black Americans. You know what? Let this be in California. Let it happen. What I hope this will create is a kind of drain in the country. People who want reparations will all be going to California. As long as it's done with Californian money, do it. And for anyone who still has sense, leave California and come to create a separate part of America where there will be no reparation. This is absolute nonsense. I've once made the case that if we were to truly compute the harms done on both sides, reparations might very well end up being to the advantage of whites. Like, if you want to compute all of the history of criminality, black versus white versus black, how much slavery there was, and yes, slavery existed. But then there were also acts of aggression and acts of criminality on the other side. If you compute all of this and you make the net calculation about how much does one community owe to the other and how much does the other community owe to the one, you might very well end up with cash being sent to white people. Grapes Coda says, wasn't there someone who calculated all of this for each race in America, JF? I mean, yeah, and just consider taxation, which obviously, I've often said that taxation is anti-white. It is. Taxation targets the salary range of white people. And so just accumulate over decades and decades of the government policies being built around taking more money from white people. This one is... I predicted this. Two female inmates pregnant after New Jersey admits biological males to women's prison. So now you have these trans male to female. They ask to be in female jails and they inseminate the female in the prisons. And now these pregnant females, of course, are going to get free health care for themselves and they will be producing babies. So we are at a point of inversion in the prison system. We are at a point where the eugenic effect of prison, which is take someone who commits a crime, keep them from reproducing in nature. So there was a positive eugenic effect of prisons, but we're about to revert it because now it's going to be a status to attain. Instead of losing your time in the jail and not making babies, you're going to be able to make babies. I predicted this. Life finds a way, and this is what happened. I said, if you put guys in jails, they will have babies. And it happened. Mexican border blockade threatens to leave U.S. supermarkets without produce ahead of Easter. That's a situation to follow because there's a blockade on the Mexico side in reaction to U.S. policy that is too aggressive on the surge, apparently. More than $100 million worth of Mexican produce is stuck at the U.S.-Mexico border due to a trucker blockade on the Mexican side over Texas Governor Greg Abbott's new border search policy. The disruption could leave some U.S. supermarkets without produce ahead of Easter weekend. So I guess the problem is Texas is tired of illegal immigration. So they want to check all of the trucks and they want to make sure that there are no illegal migrants making their trips through the trucks that are claiming to be delivering produce. And so that's a legitimate concern. But then the Mexican drivers are tired of this. They don't want this to happen. So there's a big blockade. I will tell Mama JF, no avocados for you for the next 4 or 5 months, because this is going to increase the price. This is going to be experienced directly in the US and Canada. Vegetables are about to get extremely high price. And this could also affect beef, McDonald's beef, for example. We might see major increases of price if this keeps going. This is the big one. This is our Ukraine situation for North America, because Ukraine was sending its vegetables to Europe and Mexico was sending its vegetables to the US. All right, live map of the action in Ukraine. Today, what has happened is that there was veggies are already high price, JF says just that. Well, yes, it's going to get worse. So today, some of the big events have happened in the Black Sea, where a major vessel of the Russian military has been struck by a missile, perhaps coming from Odessa. And the major Navy warship has been sunk. So at first there was just damage and it got towed, but during the towing operation and while there was a storm, the ship further broke basically and sunk to the bottom of the sea. It's a big hit for the Russians, and most importantly, this seems to come from an increase of the missile supplies to Ukraine by the US. So I don't know how Vladimir Putin will react to this, but at what point are we saying, okay, ultimately this is a proxy war and the US sunk this battleship? There are certainly grounds to say that it could be a rational thing to consider on the side of Vladimir Putin, consider striking a battleship of the American Navy, because at this point we know that the Americans are controlling the Ukrainian soldiers, giving them intelligence, which is another way to say control, and they're giving them the weapons, and they've told them, we're going to give you weapons to strike ships, and now a ship has been struck. So it's the rational path to say this is a Russian-US war is absolutely there. And we also have other news. Well, this was the news on the Moskva. This is the name of the Black Sea flagship. Russia confirms sinking of its Black Sea flagship. It was a big ship like this. Here's a photo from Maxar satellite. That's the situation. And Russia claims that Ukraine has carried out minor provocations against border posts. State TV's Olga Skabeyeva suggests this response. One could begin, for example, by destroying the government quarter, the Ukrainian Defense Ministry building, Zelensky's office, and the main SBU directorate. Well, yeah, it's about time that this would be done. I can't believe the Russians. I'm getting frustrated by the Russians, because they've not been using mass destruction of centers of control like Kiev. And I don't know what they're waiting. They're getting attacked on their own side of the border. Now a major ship of them has been sunk. What is in the head of Putin that keeps him from sending a major strike, basically leveling some parts of Ukraine? I don't know what it is. Maybe he's just trying to be too kind. And okay, you can do whatever you want. So ultimately, I don't feel personally involved in this war, but I'm just astonished at how Putin is letting his country be seen as extremely weak. Firestarter says, lol, JF, why isn't Russia using mass destruction? Yeah, why? Because you're going to be canceled anyway. So, you know, I mean, this goes with my philosophy of life. It's if you're going to be called a Nazi, if you're going to be destroyed, if you're going to be canceled, you might as well add a little layer of peanut butter onto the toast, you know? I always add a layer because I'm like, okay, all of these bad things will happen. I will be considered an asshole. I will be spitted on and abandoned, left for dead. But what I can choose is to go in a shiny way, in an explosive way. And Putin, it seems, thinks totally differently from me. Mama JF, did you... Oh, she entered, but she left. Hello, Mama JF.
Yes, also me. I always want the little spices, the little basil and stuff.
Oh, yes, coriander. Mama JF likes coriander, fresh parsley, fresh mint. Yeah, there's not going to be any coriander. See, that's why we can't get these spices. That's why there's a shortage.
Yeah.
Because Mama JF kept saying, buy some for me. And I'm like, there's none.
But you build a big thing in
I built a spice block. We're going to be able to farm some.
Yes, I told JF I want a little spice block. But you built like something so big.
Yes, you 16 feet.
Yes. Yes, you need to grow the spice.
Yes, I'll grow the spice this summer. No worries, Mama JF. You'll be living in the luxury of having fresh coriander at all times.
Maybe we can grow them in the winter, no? At the window.
That's harder because the alignment of the window, you know, you're going to have either sun for 2 hours here or 2 hours there.
Changing them all day. You just move them from window to window.
And who's going to do that?
Okay, we name one of our child to do that.
Okay, well, this is a form of slavery, Mama JF. We cannot do this.
I'm sure we can do that.
Mama JF has great ideas sometimes that just require infinite Papa JF work. And it's like, yes, theoretically that's possible. I could be just carrying around the coriander back around the house at all times so that it gets maximal illumination. Same thing, by the way, with, you know, artificial lighting inside. I can use artificial lighting for the seedlings for a couple of weeks, but to grow a full plant to its full size, it's just not going to be worth it. You're going to pay much more in electricity than what you would have even in an inflation world at the grocery store. Foundations of the 21st Century says, Jeff, Putin had more than 7 years to analyze the NATO reaction. He is simply waiting for each reaction from their states, preparing as alliances are formed. This was for the long game, not just Ukraine. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe Putin is just sampling and accumulating information for the purpose of 6D chess in the future. Mama JF says, oh, sorry, I was 5 minutes late on the show. Mama JF came in and she had moved her cursor, so she was reacting to what I said 5 minutes ago. Elant News says, Russia claims two Ukrainian helicopters entered Russian airspace and conducted airstrikes on buildings in Bryansk region. So that's another example. That has been happening days ago, and it's again reported now. You have incursions into the Russia territory happening, and you have shelling of border posts, and you have now the destruction of a warship. Just how much money and how much material is Putin ready to lose before he takes serious action to win this war. I don't know. And I don't care. But, you know, you're attacking an advanced nation with the backing of the US. Don't fuck around. Don't play games. Don't. Just give some firepower, you know? China's Xi Jinping is a silent partner in Putin's aggression in the Ukraine, CIA Director Burns warns. So they're starting to prepare the American media to see China as an ally of Russia in this whole thing. The thing is, the only way in which you can really see China as non-neutral is by contrast with those extreme measures that the sanctions have been by the US, by Europe. The truth is that China is the only truly neutral nation, big nation, approaching with regards to the Russian war. So what they are really saying when they suggest that China, by not having sanctions, is collaborating with the war, they're saying we are entitled to force China to put sanctions. And that's a violation of the sovereignty of China. So I hope that China is getting prepared, because they're on the queue for cancellation by the CIA and those big those warmongers and all of the American empire, basically. So I hope that they are observing the war in Ukraine and preparing for their own wars and preparing for the attack on them that will be inevitable eventually from the American Empire, unless they abandon all of their capacity to make decisions for themselves. Because here they are. Here's the CIA exposing its whole agenda. If you don't join us in sanctioning Russia, we'll see you as a friend of Russia. Complete nonsense. Agent PSI says you give too much credit to Putin. You should take a note of Peskov's statement. Nabulina's RUCB ad, 20% interest rate when the country needs to build self-sufficiency due to the sanctions, etc. I understand Russian and read and watch Russian alternative media. They give more info on the way the things in Russia really are. Well, thank you for your insight. I don't read Russian and I don't have interest in understanding TV programs of Russia. But if there's any news item that I miss or that you'd like me to cover, bring them to my attention. Thomas Howard says, in the event of global thermonuclear war, is the chance of survival improved in the Southern Hemisphere? What do you say, JF? Just a myth? Oh, I think it's an interesting point. I've never read about it and I've never heard that claim, but it's interesting. You know, a massive nuclear war would have to involve big centers of extremely rich nations. So You just don't strike. You just don't strike Brazil. That would be an asshole move. Like, it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna strike Brazil, bro. You're gonna strike leaves and people of the jungle. It's like, oh yeah, and maybe a little building there. So you don't strike overpopulated poor nations. So I guess that the consequence is what will happen in terms of strike is Northern and European in nature and Western in nature. So I guess that it's not a bad take. However, if definitely we're not talking about like being in the south of the US. If you want that kind of safety, you'd had to be like in Chile, in a place that's actually poor and that has actually no military capacity. I guess that the first strikes for a nuclear war would be places with military capacities and then places commanding centers for big military capacities. So something like Washington, D.C., New York, Los Angeles, that kind of thing could end up being struck. And so those places, anyways, I don't want to live, because not so much that I'm scared about the nuclear, but I'm scared about the leftist. Will Musk start his own platform? That was our survey tonight. Three people have voted, and they all voted no, he'll do nothing. So you guys don't think he will start his own platform. He will not buy Twitter. He'll do nothing. Well, oh my God, that is blackpilling. Not a single person in the vote tonight believes that Musk will do anything. Well, I guess you can say at least he's giving some press attention to the question of free speech. I don't know if I want to settle for this. That is it for tonight, Buzz. I'll see you all tomorrow. What do we have on the schedule? Oh, my internet is... I think my browser... It's not my internet that much, but it's like my browser. It refuses to load Google. Well, anyways, I think we have a Satoshi Street Bets podcast that may happen tomorrow, but I'm not sure. In any case... other than this, there will be the regular show. Don't forget to join the Patreon or the Subscribestar if you would like to support the show. Thank you very much for being here tonight, and I will see you all tomorrow. I can't even close the show. Oh my God! The computer is totally bugged. It doesn't even allow me to click. So then that's not an internet issue. It's a... Oh my God, I cannot click on ending the show. Ah, now I can. Now I can. There was a kind of hang up in my whole computer. Much love. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.